seachtain an Indo-Ascaliger.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach an seo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir in reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus go mina fnacht gáir a chlig sár ducha sin éair. Ná ní bhíon ann tar d'oraach sé sin. Vin Marav.
Shachtan. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when will cars safely drive themselves on our streets? And who in Ireland is providing the technology to help them do that? We talk to one of the country's biggest automotive autonomy entrepreneurs.
I have BMW Drive Assist in my own vehicle, and it is much, much safer because we are all prone to distraction, especially when we're on the motorway from Limerick to Dublin, for example. We've all been there where you actually forgot a whole section of the road. So I would say if you take it from a safety perspective, and it does allow you to kind of relax.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Today on the Indo Daily, the Mountjoy helicopter escape.
There was two men approached the helicopter, heavily masked. One of them came to the other door of the helicopter and pointed the gun and says, right, we're provost. And gave me instructions to go to Mountjoy prison, pick up three prisoners and take them to Baldoyle. If you follow up this operation there, this man's instructions to shoot you.
It might sound like an urban legend, but 50 years ago, three men staged the greatest of escapes from Dublin's Mountjoy prison.
Prison officers had thought that the incoming helicopter had been carrying the Minister for Defence, who used helicopters, he said, like others use state cars.
Guards could only look on as the Halloween horror show unfolded and prominent provisional IRA figures took off into the skies.
This all lasted a minute, barely more than a minute, but it seemed an eternity. At the time, dust swirling everywhere, confusion, mayhem.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by journalist Liam Collins to revisit an incident that gave the government of the day a black eye and inspired some chart-topping music.
A little helicopter flew across the sky, down into the yard where some prisoners were walking.
Liam Collins, the story we're going to talk about today is 50 years old. And that in itself, I think, makes it even more extraordinary because there have been so many movies made about incidents like this, but it happened in Dublin in 1973. Give us the backdrop.
Yes, the IRA basically launched a plot to rescue three senior figures from the organization who were serving sentences in Mountjoy prison. And apparently Brendan Hughes, who was a senior figure in the IRA in Belfast, decided that rather than use the usual forceful methods of blowing their way out, they would try something very different. The plan was quite simple, which is always a good thing for a successful operation. They would use a helicopter, drop into Mountjoy, snatch three senior IRA figures and disappear.
And it worked. I know you used the word rescue, and I suppose that was the propaganda of the time of the Republican leaders, because there was a big, this was the early days of the trouble, there was pushback from both the British and the Irish governments were trying to clamp down on Republican terrorists. Locking them up was the obvious way to do that. And this was not just a bold statement, I suppose, about the capability of the IRA, but also perhaps the weakness of the governments in their ability to fight back against them.
Yes, and part of the operation was to get the maximum propaganda value out of this operation. And it had a lot of colourful elements in that it took place on the 31st of October. It was Halloween, and it added to the drama and the international reaction that followed.
Well, let's start with the hijacking of a helicopter. Explain how that was planned out.
It began when a Mr. Leonard walked into Irish Helicopters on the Monday of that week and asked if he could hire a helicopter for Wednesday. He said he was using a fake American accent, dressed in a white suit, and he said he was a filmmaker who had done a lot of filming around Ireland but had left his equipment down in County Laois, down in Dunamace. And so the cost was £75 an hour, and the staff actually tried to dissuade him from using the helicopter. They told him that it would be much cheaper just to get a van and go down and collect his equipment. But he insisted that he wanted to use the helicopter, and he duly turned up on the Wednesday morning. And the helicopter was waiting. The pilot was Captain Thompson Boyes from Newtownards, a skilled pilot. And they took off from Irish Helicopters compound near Dublin Airport and proceeded to County Laois.
Now, it's only a sidebar, but the helicopter itself had an interesting history.
Yes, the helicopter had originally been in use by the French military and probably saw service in Vietnam, because when General de Gaulle made a present of it to the wife of the then Vietnamese leader, Mr. Chu, and it was then subsequently bought by Irish Helicopters, which was a relatively small operation at the time.
So this helicopter is, for all intents and purposes, on its way to Laois for some sort of a filming operation. What is happening back in Mountjoy?
In Mountjoy, it later emerged that Republican prisoners who were housed there had all been briefed that there was an event going to take place in the mid-afternoon, and to be prepared to help out and to effect the release of the three IRA leaders. Seamus Toomey, who was an IRA chief of staff, Joseph B. O'Hagan, who was quartermaster of the IRA, and a longtime IRA operative, Kevin Mallon.
Now, you can imagine, Liam, you're locked up in prison. This is something different because every day is the same. So there must have been a bit of a buzz and a bit of a flurry, but they would have also been conscious that there had been a previous attempt to free some of these IRA prisoners and that had gone wrong.
Yeah, the plan had been aborted basically because it was to take Gerry Adams out of Longkesh prison in the north. But they soon realised that the British Army had much better helicopters with a greater capability, and it had little chance of success and could prove very dangerous to the person they were going to try and extract from the prison.
So the previous helicopter attempt in Longkesh was abandoned. There was a previous one in Mountjoy as well that involved Toomey, Mallon and O'Hagan, where there was explosives smuggled into the prison and they were supposed to get out to the prison yard, and there would be basically a rope ladder waiting for them there once they blew their way into the yard. But that fell apart and didn't happen. So this idea of prisoners trying to get out of prison seems to have been a pretty frequent thing on the agenda for Republicans.
Oh, well, it was. I mean, they had little else to do, and they were very disciplined. And this was a plot that involved quite a lot of people, and yet there wasn't a whisper of it anywhere. So it really depended on the operational success to get in and to get out.
And to the loyalty, I guess, of the various people within the Provisional IRA.
Oh, absolutely,
at the time,
yes.
To each other and to the three guys who were going to get out, because it took an awful lot of people to help three men escape when others might have tried to get on that helicopter. So let's go back to the plot line. The helicopter, it gets as far as a farmhouse near Stradbally in County Laois. What happens?
Yeah, that's right. Captain Boyes put it down. thinking in good faith that he was there to do this job. And suddenly a group of men, heavily armed, surrounded the helicopter. Mr. Jackson was taken away or disappeared quite quickly. And two men told Mr. Boyce, that the pilot, that if he wanted to save his own life, he was to follow their instructions. One of them, armed with an Armalite rifle and a pistol, got into the helicopter and told him they were going to central Dublin. Now, at the time, 50 years ago, navigational equipment was pretty basic. And so he was told to follow the railway line and the Royal Canal, and he would be told, given further details, when they arrived at their destination.
So he enters the Greater Dublin area, the helicopter drops to about 700 feet, and suddenly it's heading towards Mountjoy Prison.
That's right. And a little patch of Mountjoy Prison, it was estimated that it was 20 square feet, really, that he had to drop the helicopter down into the yard. And as we know, there's high walls all around. He complained, first of all, that if they took on any more weight, they might not be able to take off again. At which point, he was told that if you fail this operation, you're going to get a bullet. So he got the helicopter, landed it in the yard, and then all hell broke loose in the prison yard.
So the prisoners are out playing football, exercising, whatever it is. Three of them know that they are getting the golden ticket, if you like, to get out on the helicopter. What about the prison guards?
Well, the prison guards were completely confused. This was unprecedented, obviously. And they first of all thought it was the Minister for Defence, Paddy Donegan, arriving for an unexpected visit that nobody had told them about.
That's quite extraordinary in 1973, Liam. The idea that the Justice Minister would just pop in on a helicopter and land in Mountjoy Square. Like, it seems unbelievable.
It does. It does. And I suppose they were trying to come up with a rational explanation and didn't think that there was any possibility that a helicopter would land without authorization right in the middle of what was the main prison in the Republic of Ireland, and housing not only serious Republican terrorists, but also some very serious criminals. So as the helicopter landed, and amid the confusion, the three men who knew that they were the targets, Toomey, Mallon and O'Hagan, ran for the helicopter while the rest of the Republican prisoners, probably joined by others, mobbed the eight prison officers who were on duty at the time. There were subsequent reports in, I think it was probably IRA propaganda, but maybe not, that one of the prison officers kept shouting, close the gates, as if that would make
not realizing that the escape route was up rather than over or out,
exactly
through the gates. So off they go. It works.
It works. And despite the three, this would have been a fairly small helicopter, and it was probably way overweight. It now had five passengers, the pilot and the four IRA men. It took off into the Dublin skyline. There was no Garda helicopter at the time. I don't know if the Irish Army had any helicopters. Maybe they had one or two, but it had a free run, and it proceeded to a large disused Baldoyle racecourse out near where Charlie Haughey lived in Baldoyle, and landed there. There was a car that had been stolen in O'Connell Street earlier in the day, waiting, and basically the three IRA leaders disappeared.
And away they go. What was the reaction?
Well, the reaction was international. I mean, despite the misgivings you might have, it was a very daring plot. In today's terms, it went viral. The New York Times, Time magazine, everybody wanted this story because it was such an unusual event and because of the people involved. And of course, the ramifications for the government were very serious.
Just remind us, who was in government at the time?
In government was Fine Gael, Labour coalition, led by Liam Cosgrave. And in those days, whatever about today, Fine Gael was a law and order party. They were implacable in their opposition to the IRA, unlike some elements in, say, Fianna Fáil. And it was a huge embarrassment that such an event could take place on their watch.
And of course, the Wolf Tones got a song out of it.
The Wolf Tones got a song called A Helicopter Song.
It's up like a bird and it's over the city. Three men are missing. I hear the water cry. Sure, it must have been a bird that flew into the prison. Oh, one of these new ministers says the water...
It was a pathetic song, even by Irish ballad standards, but it is a testament to the times, I suppose, 50 years ago, that it stayed in the charts for, I think, 14 weeks, even though it probably wasn't ever played on RTE.
What about the three men who escaped? They were free now to go back, I guess, to their IRA duties.
Yes, but there was a huge kind of security clampdown. And so they were restricted in some sense in that they didn't reach the north of Ireland, but they would have had obviously a lot of fellow travellers and organisation in the south to hide them.
They did eventually run out of road, though. As you mentioned, there was a huge clampdown. So the Gardaí put huge resource in this. Obviously, the government was under pressure. The defence forces... It was reported at the time that there was as many as 20,000.
Yes, there was
arms of state, if you like,
yes,
chasing them down.
Yeah, and this would have caused tremendous difficulty for the IRA and its activities, because with roadblocks in country roads and all over the place around the border in their own operations, it led to a lot of difficulty for them. And I mean, within 2 months, Kevin Mallon was recaptured at a GAA dance in the south. And O'Hagan was captured 2 years later. And Toomey stayed out. He was chief of staff of the IRA. He remained at large until 1977. And in the intervening years, managed to give an interview to Der Spiegel about the IRA and the escape itself.
What did he say in that?
Well, he basically glorified the planning and used it as a propaganda exercise to state their operational capabilities.
It did change how Republican prisoners to this day are dealt with, in that they tend now to be mostly not in Mountjoy Prison anymore.
They're almost straight away the government decided to reopen the Curra military camp, and they prepared Portlaoise Prison, which I think had several wings for Republican prisoners, and at one time was almost exclusively a Republican prison, and was much better fortified than Mountjoy was at the time.
One of the interesting, and it's only kind of a subplot, Liam, to all of this, is that while they were all caught again, amazingly, Kevin Mallon actually managed to escape from prison a second time.
Yes, he had been arrested near Portlaoise and put back in that prison. And he escaped there in a mass breakout in August 1974 with 18 other prisoners after overpowering the guards and using gelignite to get through the gates. He was recaptured in Fox Rock in County Dublin in 1975 and returned to his Portlaoise prison.
It's an extraordinary story, Liam. How is it remembered at this remove?
You know, a lot of people probably don't recollect it at all. It was a huge propaganda coup at the time for the IRA, but it was one of those things that caused such an outcry and an outrage and an excitement at the time, but has, in the mists of time, it has now become part of, I suppose, Republican propaganda. But looking back on the newspapers of the time, I read that almost within hours of this escape, you know, a young RUC man visiting his sick mother in Donegal was murdered by the IRA. So a lot of the things that the glorification of these spectaculars, as the IRA called them, behind that, there is a legacy of death, destruction and, you know,
misery,
misery and depredation that we should never forget.
Yeah, it's worth saying this was 1973, 50 years now. It's almost easy to kind of laugh and talk about the Wolf Tone song and all the rest of it. But at the time, this was a huge problem for the Irish state, the British state, the stability of Northern Ireland. And the Troubles, of course, was only getting going.
Going, exactly. And it was seen as a morale booster for the IRA. And that probably led to other young men and women probably joining the organization, thinking that, you know, the thrills and the excitement were, as the reality was, that they were a ruthless terrorist organization. And that in actual fact, Brendan Hughes, who masterminded the plot from Belfast, later fell foul of the IRA when he robbed banks and didn't pass over the money. And they sent a hit squad after him to America. They didn't get him, and he's still alive in Belfast to this day.
My thanks to Liam Collins. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Mary Carroll, research by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Niall McMonagall. Archive clips were from RTE and the Associated Press. If you enjoyed the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Táim I mbun iarrachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach anseo gur féidir é a chur in uaigh ceart lena bhaintear féin.
Scíltí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfadh ara i gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicil.
Bhí an talam ag an am gribh orthchar na reachtam. Iadach sé tarrin gribhan ar chorstan I lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin eachar. Nau ni vin aon dar darach sa sin. Vin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.